My name is Joseph Gonzalez, and I'll be presenting our work on PowerGraph. It's a new framework for distributed graph parallel computation on natural graphs. This is joint work with Yu-Chang Lo, Hai-Jae Gu, Danny Bixen, and Carlos Gestrin. So we're transitioning from the idea of big data to thinking about big graphs. And when we do this, we need to realize that graphs are ubiquitous. So from social media to science to advertising and the web, graphs encode the relationships between people, facts, products, interests, and ideas. And these graphs are big, with billions of vertices and billions of edges and rich metadata. These graphs are also essential to data mining and machine learning. They help us identify influential people and information, find communities, target ads and products, and model complex data dependencies. Interestingly, all of these graphs share a common property. They're all examples of natural graphs, or graphs derived from real world or natural phenomena. And this leads us to a serious problem. Existing distributed graph computation systems perform poorly on natural graphs. For example, if we look at the task of PageRank on the Twitter follower graph, this is a natural graph with over 40 million users and 1.4 billion links. We can see that existing systems have made order of magnitude improvements for things like Hadoop. But by exploiting the properties of natural graphs, we can achieve the next order of magnitude improvement. So to do that, we need to understand the properties of a natural graph. And one of the defining characteristics is the power law degree distribution. So here I've plotted the degree distribution of the vertices for the Alta Vista web graph in log-log scale. The first thing to notice is in the top left, we have more than 10 to the 8 vertices, which have just one neighbor. And on the bottom right, we see they have a small fraction, roughly 1% of the vertices, which are adjacent to 50% of the edges in the graph. That is, we have a small set of very high degree vertices. And this leads to a star-like motif, where in the center we have this high degree vertex, and on the perimeter we have a large set of low degree vertices. So if you think of the Twitter scenario, the center of vertex could correspond to President Obama, and the perimeter to his followers. So in addition, these parallel graphs are difficult to partition. And to get an intuition why, if we return to our star-like motif, to evenly assign vertices to machines would require that we'd have to cut a large fraction of the edges in the graph. And in general, research has shown that parallel graphs do not generally have good low-cost balanced cuts, and that traditional graph partitioning techniques typically perform poorly on these graphs. So in summary, the power law degree distribution leads to high-degree vertices, which we'll show are both computationally challenging and contribute heavily to communication and storage overhead. In addition, these graphs are difficult to partition, making it challenging to place them in a large distributed environment. We're going to address both these problems by transforming the graph and splitting the high-degree vertices across multiple machines. We're also going to introduce a new abstraction, which will allow users to program for the original graph, but then have their program run equivalently and efficiently on the transform graph. So how do we program a graph? And the going philosophy to this problem is to think like a vertex. So how do we think like a vertex? Well, this idea is encapsulated in the classic graph parallel abstraction, which says that a user writes a vertex program which runs on each vertex, and that the graph constrains the interaction of vertex programs to along edges. So in the context of the popular Pregel abstraction, vertex programs can interact by passing messages to neighboring vertices. Or in the popular GraphLab abstraction, vertex programs can interact through shared state. In either case, parallelism is achieved by running multiple vertex programs simultaneously. So to get an intuition of the kind of computation that we'd like to perform on these graphs, consider the task of answering, what is the popularity of this user? Her popularity depends on the popularity of her followers, which in turn depends on the popularity of their followers. And we can encode this relationship in the form of the classic PageRank algorithm, which says that the rank of user I is simply a weighted sum of user I's neighbors. We can update these ranks in parallel, and we iterate this process until convergence. So we can return to the Pregel abstraction and say, how do we implement PageRank in a graph parallel messaging abstraction? So here, if we look at the Vertex program running on the Vertex I, the first thing we need to do is receive all of our messages. And these messages encode the weighted values of the neighbor's ranks. We're going to compute the sum. Once we've computed the sum, we can then update our rank. And then we're going to iterate over each of our out edges, computing a new message which contains our rank weighted by the weight of the edge, and sending that to each of our neighbors. We can also implement this in the GraphLab shared memory abstraction. In a different way, the Vertex program begins by directly reading the rank of the neighboring vertices and computing the weighted sum. We then use that value to compute the new rank for the center vertex. And in this case, if the center vertex has not converged, we're going to iterate over each of our out edges, triggering the Vertex program to be rerun on our neighbors. So now we can return to what were the challenges of high-degree vertices in the context of these graph parallel abstractions. And probably the most apparent challenge immediately is that we do a lot of iterating over our neighborhood. And this is done within a single Vertex program, and therefore sequentially on a single machine. In the case of the Pregel abstraction, we're going to generate a large number of messages. And in many cases, these messages will be identical. In the case of the GraphLab abstraction, we're going to touch a large amount of state in our neighborhood and pull that information to a single machine. This can contribute to network overhead and storage. In both cases, we expose the adjacency structure of a single vertex to the Vertex program. And this includes all the neighbors and a lot of rich metadata. And this could potentially overwhelm a single machine. So the GraphLab abstraction has a really cool asynchronous locking model, but unfortunately, it doesn't scale well to high-degree vertices. And the Pregel abstraction runs in this bulk synchronous model, which has frequent barriers. And these barriers are prone to the effect of stragglers, which can be exacerbated by the presence of high-degree vertices. OK, so let's look at the communication overhead, since this is one of the dominant issues. So we're going to dive into details of communication for both the Pregel and GraphLab abstractions. So first, we look at Pregel. So if we consider the case, we have a lot of messages inbound to some high-degree vertex. Pregel introduces a clever idea in the form of commutative associative message combiners. This is a user-defined function which allows us to combine messages on the sending machine and then send only a single message across the network. And this can really bring down the effect of high-degree vertices. But unfortunately, it doesn't work in the opposite direction, where a change to vertex D could generate a lot of potentially identical messages, which would be sent across the network potentially to the same machine. So we can actually characterize this effect by running PageRank on a set of synthetically constructed power law graphs, where we've varied the power law constant alpha to control the presence of high-degree vertices. Here we're going to use Piccolo as a proxy for Pregel. So on the x-axis, have the power law constant, and smaller power law constants implies more high-degree vertices. If I direct all of my edges into the high-degree vertices, and I run this abstraction, we see that the presence of message combiners is able to mitigate the effect of high-degree vertices, bringing the communication to a constant. But if I reverse the edges and have them leaving from high-degree vertices, I enter the broadcast scenario, where now the presence of high-degree vertices contributes heavily to an increase in the total communication of the system. We can also look at how GraphLab deals with this. So GraphLab maintains a shared memory view, and to do that, it makes a local copy of remote vertices. We call these ghosts. So the vertex D is copied onto machine 1 as a ghost on machine 1. A change in the page rank of D on machine 2 is propagated by the system to machine 1 in the form of a single message, addressing the broadcast situation. Unfortunately, GraphLab lacks the notion of message combiners, and so changes to the neighbors of D, A, B, and C, will generate a large amount of network traffic. We can then look at this effect by running GraphLab on these same set of power law graphs. Now, one thing to keep in mind is GraphLab is actually going to treat edges symmetrically, so we'll get a single curve. But we will generally see that GraphLab uses substantially more communication than the other abstraction. One way to bring down or manage communication is through graph partitioning. And graph parallel abstractions typically rely on partitioning to minimize communication and to balance computation and storage. This is achieved by assigning vertices to machines and then cutting across edges. And the number of edges cut is proportional to the network traffic of the system. But since parallel graphs are difficult to partition, both GraphLab and Pregl resort to random or hash-based partitioning, in which vertices are randomly assigned to machines, and then edges are allowed to span machines. And it's actually a very simple analysis you can do to compute the expected number of edges that are cut. And that's simply 1 minus 1 over the number of machines. So at 10 machines, you're cutting 90% of your graph. At 100 machines, you're already cutting 99% of your graph. It's a substantial amount of the graph. So in summary, GraphLab and Pregl are not well suited for computation on these natural graphs due to the challenges of the high degree vertices and the inability to construct good partitioning. PowerGraph is going to address these issues by introducing the gas decomposition, which is going to allow us to distribute a single vertex program across an entire cluster, moving the computation to the data and parallelizing these high degree vertices. And then by doing that, we're going to introduce the opportunity to use vertex partitioning, which will allow us to effectively distribute large parallel graphs. So we derive this abstraction by identifying a common pattern across a wide range of machine learning and data mining vertex programs. And the general pattern we observe is that the program begins by computing information about its neighborhood. So it gathers some information about neighboring vertices. That information is then used to update the state of the vertex. And then we typically iterate over neighbors once more, either triggering future computation or updating edge metadata. So we generalize this in the form of the gas decomposition, which breaks a vertex program into gather, apply, and scatter phases. In the gather phase, a user-defined gather function is executed on each edge, returning a partial accumulate. Then a user-defined commutative associative sum is used to merge these accumulates. So when executed on the vertex Y, in parallel, I can construct a large information or a sum over my neighborhood. I then enter the apply phase, where a user-defined apply function takes that sum and updates the center vertex value. And then we enter the final scatter phase, where a user-defined scatter function is again executed in parallel on all the neighboring vertices, updating edge data and triggering future computation. OK, so we can return to the PageRank example and see how do we implement PageRank in this new abstraction. Well, we have to define a gather function, which simply returns the weighted value of the neighboring vertex. Our sum function is simply the arithmetic sum. The apply function just updates the center vertex value. And a scatter function then just triggers neighboring vertices when the center vertex value has changed. OK. So now that we have this new abstraction, we can actually split or transform our graph. So we're going to take our high-degree vertex and split it across multiple machines. Then we're going to randomly elect one of the machines to be the master for that vertex, and the remaining machines will be mirrors. We can then execute the gather function entirely in parallel, in fact, in a distributed way, on each of these machines, computing a partial sum. Okay? We can then send those partial sums to machine 1, where the final sum is computed. We've completed the gather phase. Then we can execute the apply by using the user-defined apply function to take that partial sum and transform the center vertex. And then we replicate that transformed vertex to all of the mirrors. Then we can execute the scatter phase, again entirely in parallel, on each machine, updating edge metadata and triggering neighboring vertices to be recomputed. So in this previous example, we notice that the communication corresponds to the number of ways in which we split a vertex. And in fact, we can minimize that by constructing a vertex cut. And excitingly, percolation theory suggests that these graphs might in fact have good vertex cuts. So rather than cutting a graph along edges, where we have to synchronize a large amount of edge metadata, we're going to propose cutting graphs along vertices. We only have to synchronize a small amount of data. And we have a new theorem that shows that for any edge cut, we can directly construct a vertex cut, which requires strictly less communication and storage. So we can always improve upon existing systems. So constructing a vertex cut amounts to evenly assigning edges to machines in a way that we minimize the number of machines spanned by each vertex. In our case, we want to do this efficiently. So we're going to actually assign edges or construct the partition as the graph is loaded, touching each edge only once. And we're going to propose three distributed approaches. One, a random edge placement, and two, greedy approaches. So the random edge placement is actually very simple. Given a graph, I randomly assign the edges of that graph to each machine. The first thing to notice is that edge data is never replicated. It's uniquely assigned to one machine. Second thing to notice in this example is that this is a balanced cut, because I've assigned edges evenly to machines. Now, the communication corresponds to the number of machines spanned by each vertex. And so vertex Y, which spans three machines, will contribute most to communication, followed by vertex Z. But the black vertices will not contribute at all to communication or storage overhead, since they are uniquely assigned to machines. So we can actually analyze the performance of this random edge placement algorithm, and we can compute the expected number of machines spanned by each vertex as a function of the size of the cluster. And I'll spare you the equation. Here's what it looks like. We can then execute this same edge placement algorithm on the Twitter follower graph and see we can get a very close approximation to the number of ways a vertex is cut, which allows us to accurately estimate the memory and communication overhead of the subsequent execution of this system. Okay. We can also then take that analysis of the random edge placement algorithm and compare it to the previous analysis done on just random edge cuts, which was what Graffler and Pregel had used. And we can compute the reduction in communication and storage overhead as a function of the number of machines. And we can show that for very large clusters, we can still achieve order of magnitude improvements or reductions in communication and storage. We can then take that random placement algorithm and improve upon it by greedily assigning edges to machines. So here we're going to place an edge on a machine which already has vertices in that edge. So if I have the edge AD, I'd like to assign it to machine 1, because machine 1 already has a vertex A. If I encounter an edge that could be assigned to more than one machine, I'm going to assign it to the least loaded machine to ensure the balance objective. We can then show that this greedy cut is, in fact, a direct de-randomization of the random edge placement algorithm, and therefore greedily maximizes or minimizes the expected number of machines spanned by each vertex. We propose two distributed placement distributed placement implementations for this algorithm. One is a coordinated placement, and this requires each machine to coordinate on the previous history of other vertices and where they've been placed, and is therefore slower, but will generate higher quality cuts. And we have a very simple oblivious algorithm, which is going to approximate the greedy objective by having each machine maintain only a local history of where vertices had been previously assigned. This will be faster, but will generate lower quality cuts. Okay. So we can then look at the performance of this on the Twitter follower graph, both in terms of the cost of the cut that is finally constructed, as well as the running time it takes to construct that cut. And we'll do this as a function of the size of our cluster. So on the x-axis, I have the number of machines in our deployment. If we first look at the random placement, we see as we increase the number of machines, the size or the cost of the cut goes up, but the time it takes to construct the cut goes down, because this is a fully distributed algorithm. We can now drastically improve upon that cost by using our coordinated placement objective. But this, of course, is going to increase the time it takes to construct the cut. And we have a compromise by using the oblivious placement objective, which will bring the cost down with only a small increase in the time it takes to construct the cut. Okay, then we can look at the subsequent effect of these partitioning algorithms on the performance of algorithms like PageRank, collaborative filtering, and shortest path. So we're going to run our system on each of these algorithms and compare against the running time for just a random cut. We see that the oblivious and coordinated greedy objectives can reduce the overall runtime of the subsequent algorithm. So there's some features I'm not going to discuss in detail. Our system supports three execution modes. One, asynchronous execution, which is similar to the execution model described in Pregel. An asynchronous execution, which allows us to interleave, gather, apply, and scatter phases. And an asynchronous serializable execution, which ensures that neighboring vertex programs do not run simultaneously. In addition, we introduced a novel delta caching, which allows us to accelerate the gather phase by maintaining caches of the partial sums for each vertex. So let me go into more detailed system evaluation. We implement our PowerGraph system on top of the standard cloud stack in the form of a C++ API. We use HDFS for both graph input and output. And we achieve fault tolerance by using checkpointing. And in fact, we can construct a snapshot of the entire Twitter graph in just under 5 seconds. So we've implemented many algorithms on top of our system. We've implemented algorithms in collaborative filtering, statistical inference, graph analytics, computer vision, and language modeling. But I'm only going to focus on a few of the results today. So we can return to our running PageRank story, where we ran PageRank with Pregel and GraphLab on a set of synthetically constructed parallel graphs. Remember, on the x-axis is the parallel constant alpha, and smaller alpha implies more high-degree vertices. If we look at just the communication, we see that PowerGraph is robust to the presence of high-degree vertices and generally uses less communication than the other systems. This, in turn, translates to a substantial improvement in runtime. So again, PowerGraph is robust to the presence of high-degree vertices and runs faster than existing systems. We can then run PageRank on the actual Twitter follower graph, and we'll see a similar trend. If we look at communication, the PowerGraph system is going to be able to drastically reduce communication, and that's going to translate to substantial improvement in runtime. We can then look at the scalability of this system by running it on the Yahoo AltaVista web graph. So this is one of the largest publicly available data sets with over 1.4 billion web pages and 6.6 billion links. So we're going to run this on 64 Amazon HPC nodes using roughly 1,000 cores. And we're going to be able to process a single iteration of PageRank in just 7 seconds. That's processing over 1 billion links per second using only 30 lines of user code. So we think this is pretty exciting. We can also take a look at the task of topic modeling. So here we're going to try to extract semantically similar groups of words and documents from the Wikipedia data set. This is a data set with 2.6 million documents, 8.3 million words, and 500 million tokens. And the algorithm we're going to run is actually very computationally intensive. The state-of-the-art solution to this can process 150 million tokens per second. And this is on 100 Yahoo machines and a system that was specifically engineered to solve just this task. Our system can process the same task using 64 machines and process 110 million tokens per second. And that's using just 200 lines of user code written in 4 human hours. Finally, we can look at the task of triangle counting. So here we're going to identify individuals who have strong communities by counting the number of triangles that pass through that individual. We're going to run this on the Twitter follower graph. And the state-of-the-art result, a system that was out, or an implementation that was optimized for Hadoop, can process this task on 1,500 machines in just 423 minutes. That's calculating over 34.8 billion triangles. Our system can do this on 64 machines in just 1.5 minutes. That's 282 times faster. Now, why is that? You could blame it on Hadoop. But actually, it really turns out to be the wrong abstraction. So the use of Hadoop is forcing a broadcast, just as I discussed earlier. And that's requiring us to compute degree squared messages. So in summary, we've shown that computational natural graphs is challenging due to the presence of high degree vertices and the low quality edge cuts. We proposed PowerGraph as a solution, which uses the gas decomposition to split vertex programs over multiple machines and allow us to approach vertex partitioning to effectively place these large graphs in a distributed environment. We've shown that PowerGraph both theoretically and experimentally outperforms existing graph parallel systems. Since then, we've developed a large collection of machine learning and data mining toolkits on top of PowerGraph. And in addition, we've been starting to look at support for time-evolving graphs. So as the graph changes with structure, can we continue computing on it? We've also looked at things like out-of-core storage, which you'll hear about next. And we've also been focusing on ways to improve fault tolerance by using the vertex replication. We're trying to support asynchronous recovery. So I'd like to conclude by inviting you to check out PowerGraph, which is now part of GraphLab 2, at graphlab.org. Thank you.
I noticed that the graphs that you're using
Terrence,
in...
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry?
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, Terrence Kelly, HP Labs. I noticed that the graphs that you're using in your experiments in Table 2, they're not extremely large, right? You
right.
could fit these in a laptop comfortably in main memory. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you baseline against performance of a straightforward single-core serial solver? I've got 100 lines of C that'll count triangles in a graph of these size. I haven't run it yet. But that would seem to be an interesting baseline.
So a lot of these don't fit in memory. Some do. And actually, the system that we've built, yeah.
They do.
OK, so are you referring to the Twitter follower graph?
I'm referring to everything that I see in table two.
I see. So we've done some in-memory experiments. The system we've built is actually an in-memory system. When we compare against it, we're about 4 to 5 times slower than one machine. But we can beat that by going to the cluster. So we actually, at some point, surpass that.
Would you be interested in a comparison later?
Yes, absolutely.
So Indrajit Roy from HP Labs. Mm-hmm. Good work. I have a question. How do you compare yourself with matrix-based systems, mm-hmm. Especially because the techniques you are using, vertex partitioning, partitioning, they have been known for like 10, 20 years, and this technique that you're using is really 2D partitioning on a matrix, mm-hmm. which makes sure that a vertex is present in more than one machine. How is this different from such a known, well-known technique?
So we did look at that. So vertex partitioning has existed in linear solvers for a while. We've changed the objective slightly. In addition, our system allows transformation of edge data in asynchronous execution, which is very different than what's typically used in linear matrix algebra systems. And in the scatter phase, which allows us to do this extra transformation on adjacent vertices. So,
okay. Thanks.
Anything else?